is Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king, but as a battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or the supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Donald Wilson. We're going to be talking about a book he's written, and it's going to be available in book form, hopefully one of these days. But it's going into the foundation of the ideas that led to America. And America is really a unique nation. It's a unique nation because, of course, here, built into our concept of government is this idea that we are not a democracy, specifically not a democracy. We are to be a republic. And, of course, certainly the foundation of our ideas of individual freedom came from Europe. And, of course, most people think these ideas came from Great Britain, the British idea of being an English citizen. And, of course, the people during the Revolutionary War were fighting for their rights as Englishmen. But Donald has some different views, and so I've asked him to come on. Fascinating information he's compiled. And, Donald, thank you very much for being with us. Tell us how you got interested in this idea of the origins of the ideas that led to America and what you've actually found.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on. The way I got interested was every time I'd be in school, my two favorite founders were Patrick Henry and Sam Adams. And every time I'd read a book, regardless of who the expert was, they'd always say, well, we weren't really revolutionaries. We weren't really doing anything that drastic. We were just fighting for our rights as Englishmen. And of course, as a kid, when you see them firing on the king's troops or reading about it and other such things, you think, well, that probably is a pretty radical idea. And, you know, Sam Adams was Welsh and Patrick Henry was Scottish. And so it always kind of struck me in the wrong way because I didn't actually see a lot of Englishmen. And then what happened is when I was in college, we had to do a project where we had to write a proposal for a grant, and we didn't have to prove the grant. We just had to make it believable enough that a corporation would give us the money from the grant proposal we wrote. And the more that I investigated and the more that I read, I found out that there was a lot of information for that premise. And the more I tried to disprove it, the more true that it became that we, in fact, were not fighting for our rights as Englishmen, that, in fact, most of these men came from the Celtic countries. Whether it be Wales, Ireland, Scotland, and especially the ones that were the Presbyterian Whigs that came out of Scotland, they wanted nothing to do with the English. They hated the English. And I soon figured out that we as Americans, we use the terms English and British interchangeably, and I think that's where a large source of our confusion comes from.
All right, fine. Well, now explain that and explain the difference in the philosophy between the people of Scotland. I just happen to be Scots, so I have a little, very, very interested in these concepts. I've been to the homeland there. In fact, there's only one lake in all of Scotland, and that's Lake Menteith, named after my name. But go right ahead. Certainly, what is the difference between the Scots and the English as far as their ideas, as far as these concepts of freedom?
Well, it starts early on. Most people don't realize that Scotland was never conquered by the Roman Empire. They cannot find a single town in Scotland in which the name originates from the Latin language. And so if we separate England from Britain and realize that Britain is a bigger sphere than England, we notice that the very first mention of Scotland is by Agricola in an old Latin text. And it's just these 17 petty sub-principalities, and they built Hadrian's Wall, and the Romans never go there. So
hold that thought. Basically, of course, but basically we speak not of Britain, we speak of Great Britain, which was not only England, it was certainly Wales and Scotland and Ireland as well, but entirely different cultures, and this is what people really have not thought about. We'll be back in just a moment.
Roll Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Longevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Longevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
September is National Preparedness Month in the U.S. and it's National Savings Month at Freeze Dry Guy. Are you prepared to save? All Mountain House freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans are now 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These long-lasting foods for emergency preparedness with a guaranteed 25-year shelf life are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These easy foods for camping, backpacking, hunting, and sailing are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These delicious foods, freeze-dried to lock in the taste, aroma, and freshness, are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. All cans of Mountain House freeze-dried meats, entrees, fruits, and veggies are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. Be prepared and save 40% now through September 30th at freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and suddenly Donald has some very interesting ideas. We hear the term Anglo-Saxon. Well, apparently the Anglos had come over from France to conquer England. Certainly the Saxons had come over from a section of Germany to conquer England. But in England, the idea was we will have a king. And, of course, the king would rule, and the people went right along with that. You had your nobility, you had a class structure. But that was not true in the Celtic countries, in Wales, certainly in Ireland, in Scotland. They wanted a society where people would be free. They were not Anglo-Saxon. They were Celtic. They had different ideas. They had a different culture. And they wanted a culture where men would be free, where you would not have a ruling hierarchy. Would that be a fair assessment?
That's a very fair assessment. So what you have in Scotland, you look at the clan system. It was all bottom up. People, when they voted for their clan chief, the clan chief could be your judge. He would be your military leader. Even the form of Christianity that sprouts up in the Celtic countries is different. So it's what you have, the Coldees, and it's based on the abbot system rather than a bishopric system where you believed that you went into your community and you captured your community for Christ. And these people actually sent missionaries to the continent to try and get people to understand that you needed to put your faith in God for saving your community rather than a bishopric system, which they believed was political and served man. So everything in the Celtic countries, from religion to military leadership to government was all a local choice.
And I think that's so interesting, you know, because basically the whole idea of certainly in Europe and certainly in England was, of course, that you had your religion and the king used the religion, the religion used the king, suddenly the religion of the Protestant church used the king to center their power and control, and the king used the church. And so the church and state worked together to subject the people to their tyranny. And this is the way it was in Europe. This is the way it was in England. But this was not the view of the people in Scotland who wanted to be free and wanted a bottom-up system rather than a top-down system. This is really what you're saying, isn't it?
That's exactly what happens. I mean, if you fast forward several centuries, what happens is the Presbyterians idolize the Colbys, and it gets to the point to where when the Reformation comes, John Knox comes, those guys come, there's a guy named Andrew Melville, and King James calls the Presbyterians before him because he's going to put down Presbyterianism because he wants his own church. He wants to be like every other monarch in Europe, and he's going to have his religion as dictated by the king. And could you imagine anybody doing this, the president or any leader today? He walks up to King James, he grabs him by the sleeve, and he starts shaking him, and he says, "You're God, silly vassal," and then goes on to explain to him that there's two kingdoms, an earthly kingdom and a heavenly kingdom, and in the heavenly kingdom, King James is nothing more than a citizen. He is no ruler, because the only ruler in the heavenly kingdom is God, and that's where you start to get this separation between the state church and what eventually comes to the United States is a belief that there should not be a state church. With the Calvinist movement, and especially in Scotland, they become vehemently opposed to any form of a state church.
Okay, go right ahead. Well, I think that's fascinating. I've always seen glimpses of this, but I haven't heard it expressed quite as well as you express it. So I basically press the Calvinists. For those of you who don't know, I mean, certainly Calvin, these people came out of Switzerland, but they had very, very strong beliefs and certainly about the separation of church and state. And they were entirely different than the other churches, which went right along with government controls. So pick the story up.
All right. So through the centuries, what you have is you have a continual battle between the Stuart Jameses that are 1 through 7 in Scotland. And they come in and they want to centralize everything from government to religion. And so if you start with the first James Stuart, he comes in, I want to say 1424, 1425, and the first thing that he does to establish his power, because he wants a divine right monarchy like all the rest of the monarchs in Europe, he murders a couple of the most powerful dukes, and one of the dukes, he kills both of his heirs to kind of say, this is where I am. And a year later, he says, this is how the church is going to be, and he starts implementing how he, as a Scottish king, is going to have a state church in Scotland. And that doesn't take. So about 3 years later, he summons all the clan chiefs, because you figure if the clan is locally controlled and it's bottom up instead of top down, that's something that he is not comfortable with, because he wants his divine right monarchy. So in 1428, he calls 50 clan chiefs to him under the auspices of those negotiations, and he murders them all. And only one of the clan chiefs, the Lord of the Isles, escapes, and he eventually tracks him down and murders them too. So from the very beginning of the Stuart family, when they take over from the Bruce family, there's this, we want everything centralized, and we're going to do it the way the continental Europeans do it. And they look to London with a bunch of envy, because in London, you have this divine right monarchy and this monarch that controls everything in your life, including your religion. And so what happens is when the Presbyterians pick up where the Colbys left off, you have a whole philosophy that says you cannot control us in any way. So in addition to religion, what you had with Robert the Bruce, and this is very important as we move forward, because this is the crux of the whole battle, whether you're talking religion or government, when Robert the Bruce was elected, and most people don't understand that in Scotland before the Stuarts, the king was elected. And The way that he was elected is in 1320, the Scots got together and sent a letter to the Pope. And they said, you claim to have authority over us, you claim to have jurisdiction over us, but you have put a tyrant and a murderer over us. And therefore, since we are equal, because we are created by God, and so therefore we have equal rights to you, we're throwing off your yoke, and we're rejecting your English king, and we're electing Robert the Bruce as our king. And oh, by the way, if he doesn't protect our God-given rights, then we will overthrow him also, and we'll elect a new king. And so what you have in Scotland is this idea that government is by compact, which if you're religious at all, you understand from the Old and New Testaments the idea of covenant. Well, compact is the Scottish idea that because we're created equally before God, that we can enter into a compact with each other under the authority of God's natural law, and that's what the basis of our system of government will be. And that's very, obviously very different from the continental Roman, English, Norman, Saxon idea that God picks one guy and then he rules everything in your life. And so this idea rolls forward, and you will see several of these declarations. So you have the Declaration of Arbroath in 1320 that sets the pattern. So there's four parts to a Scottish declaration under the right of compact. And that is the first thing that you do is you send a notice to the person who has aggrieved you, and you list your grievances. And then the second part of that is you present yourself against tyranny, and you eliminate the option of backing down off of your natural rights or retreating to what they would refer to as the state of previous injury. And then after that, you declare your independence under the authority of the natural law that God gave you. And then the fourth part of it is that you give a high-minded statement of principled determination that I'm not backing down, I will fight you to no end. And we've largely ignored that because the English Whig historians are the ones that have written the books. But you see that happen in the first National Covenant. So if you go to school and you read the book, you hear National Covenant, England, 1630s and 40s, English Civil War. Well, that was Scotland's second covenant, because Scotland had a covenant in 1581. And they issue that compact then. And then they helped the English issue one for Britain in that leads to the 1640s, the Civil War. And then you'll see it again in 1680 with the Sanquhar Declaration. They say, we're throwing Charles II out, and they go through the same four things that they did in the Declaration of Arbroath. And you see that come all the way down to Thomas Jefferson in the Declaration of Independence. I mean, what's the first, one of the first things he says is that when we want to dissolve the bonds which have connected to them, connected us with another, and he basically says it's incumbent upon us to list our grievances. I mean, if you look at the Declaration of Independence, a lot of it is a list of grievances against the king that follows the same pattern all the way from the Declaration of Arbroath through the two covenants, through the Sanquhar Declaration, all the way down to 1776.
And so basically then what you're saying is the ideas that led to America were not English at all. It was basically trying to reestablish these concepts of government, of limited government, that were the very essence of Scots life, built upon the Scots clans, built upon a bottom-up form of government where everybody was answerable to God and not to government. Would that be a fair assessment?
That's exactly it. When I first approach people and they're used to going to school and they hear that this goes back to Magna Carta, and they start to question. I said, well, think about it this way. Is it or is it not absurd to think that a top-down divine right monarchy that was the precursor to modern dictatorship gave us a bottom-up, leveling, locally controlled society that put the supreme power in the hands of the people rather than an almighty ruler?
And of course, people have really forgotten it. Magna Carta was signed about in the early 1200s, when a group of noblemen took the king out and just told him, you're either going to sign this charter and give us rights, or we're going to kill you. That's just that simple. And as a result, why the king signed that. And that was really the first document that limited the power of kings. And they went, of course, from the Magna Carta to the Bill of Rights and the Charter of Rights. And there were a number, certainly, of British documents but they were all aimed at this idea of limiting the power of governments so men could be free. At one time, we believed that here, but of course, the wicked people, what I call the Brotherhood, has taken over our schools. They've taken God and prayer out of our schools, without, of course, any hope for freedom in America.
You already know that calcium is important. But did you know that calcium cannot be absorbed without magnesium? That's a fact. And the calcium that isn't absorbed calcifies your soft muscle tissues. Haven't you ever wondered what's really causing all your muscle aches? I'm Pat Sullivan, the founder of Jigsaw Health. I created Jigsaw Magnesium with SRT to solve my own magnesium deficiency problems. You see, magnesium helps people feel younger because magnesium keeps the soft tissues from calcifying. This helps you sleep better at night and feel more energized during the day. Call 888-352-5050 and we'll explain why Jigsaw Magnesium with sustained release technology is so much better than any drugstore magnesium supplement. Mention this radio ad and receive $5 off your order. 888-352-5050, JigsawMagnesium.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. 8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Donald is saying that really, of course, our traditions really don't go back to the Magna Carta, because, of course, it was the Magna Carta where the king was beginning to give some rights to the people. Of course, he took them back just as soon as he could. But, of course, our concepts of liberty came out of Scotland and out of Wales, where these ideas, these Celtic ideas came, that idea that rights came from God, that men were inherently right, and the right to freedom, and that, of course, the freedom of the government should come from below, and people would give the government certain functions, but limited functions, so that men could be free, because they recognized when you gave power to the government, why it would be misused. And basically, this is the story of all monarchies. This is the story of what's going on in England today, and all the people rallying behind the queen and rallying behind the king. Doesn't matter how nice he is and how nice his wife is. Basically, you have a top-down form of government there that is controlled by a ruling elite, certainly, where the king is the figurehead, but behind them are very powerful forces that control the structure of English society, where the individual has few, if any, rights, and you get out of line, you end up like you do here in the United States. And believe me, if you don't think that they kill people here in the United States, get out of line, you need to hear our 4-CD set on paid assassins. On Deadly Assassins is the title of it. We're actually interview government assassins. This is not accidental. This is not theoretical. This is not make-believe. I interviewed these two CIA assassins and then a third man who actually tracked down the assassin who was paid to kill General George Patton. Why? Because they couldn't let Patton come home and tell the American people following World War II that he was all set to send his troops, his tanks, his brigades, his divisions across Europe to take Berlin. No, they didn't want that. They cut off his gasoline. The last thing they wanted, of course, was an early end to the war. And, of course, they had to silence Patton, which they did with an assassin. Well, go right ahead, Donald.
Oh, okay. And so what happens once the Presbyterians take hold in Cambridge, really, even though they're Presbyterians in Scotland, they can't be Presbyterians in England because the king is so much stronger in England. So what you have developed in England, you have Congregationalism, and in Scotland, you have Presbyterianism. And most people don't realize those are not theological points. Those are forms of church government. So where the king is less powerful in Scotland, you can have these presbyteries exist because the nobles back the citizens against a centralized power. Well, in England, where the king can rule with an iron fist, you can't have an organization like a presbytery, and so each congregation rules itself, hence the name Congregationalism. And what you have develop in England is that we, and this is another term we have to get down the way we need to separate English from British, we need to separate Puritan from separatist. So if you look at it from the American point of view, anybody who wasn't part of the state church was a Puritan. But if you look at it from the British point of view, there were Puritans who were tolerated, but then there were those people that were the separatists. And the separatists were basically the Calvinist in any country. So in England, that means the Congregationalist. In Scotland, that means the Presbyterian. And the government cracked down on these Congregationalist separatists as the king sees them. And that's what starts driving them to come to the United States and come to Plymouth. So when you get to the Mayflower Compact, you know, most people think it's an old word for contract, but no, we're right back to the compact idea of what elected Robert the Bruce in 1320. And this is a key that we need to recover in our constitutional study, is there is a huge difference between the word compact and the word contract. So when those Congregationalists, who are really nothing more than English Calvinists, get to the what will become the United States, they use compact on purpose. They're using the Scottish tradition, not the English tradition. And so eventually what happens is Bloody Mary Tudor comes to the throne, and she starts, in the words of one historian, quote, devoutly burning Protestants, close quote. Well, by now Cardinal Beaton is thrown out of power. He was killed by the people in Scotland. So they leave Cambridge and they go back to Scotland, but they've left this Congregationalism in England. And so in Scotland, what you have is Presbyterianism come back with a vengeance now that Cardinal Beaton is gone. And that's when you start getting the covenants, and eventually you'll get John Locke. And then eventually these people move to Northern Ireland, and they start getting persecuted there.
Well, for our listeners out there, of course, John Locke was one of the philosophers, you know, 100 years before America was created. But John Locke was one of the philosophers from who these ideas came that certainly were so instrumental in forming the beliefs of, certainly of Adams and of, certainly of John Adams and Samuel Adams and certainly of Thomas Jefferson. And so we'll be back in just a moment. If you have any questions at all, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. You have to know what you believed to know where we are today.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Longevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid that is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Longevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Donald is talking about a Scots patriot named Andrew Fletcher, who most people have never thought of, but basically, certainly at the end of the 1600s, he was writing a lot about certainly these ideas of freedom, and basically, of course, the people needed to have militias to maintain the integrity of their nations. People had to have a right to have weapons, and there should be weapons for the Welsh and for the Irish and for the Scots and for the English. Everybody should have that, and if their country was threatened, they would be in a position to defend it. But of course, the most important thing as far as maintaining freedom was this idea to keep and bear arms. People had to have the right to guns if they wanted to be free. Now, basically, you go back and you read the history of the beginning of America. You read, certainly, when Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. And when he talks about we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, all of these ideas, so many of the ideas put forward in Jefferson's writings came from John Locke 50 to 75 years earlier. But certainly in those days, people used to study ideas. We don't study them today. They dumb down our people. They get us involved watching football and watching all these television programs and The Voice and all of these things, but basically we should be studying these ideas of freedom, because if people don't understand freedom, they don't understand where ideas come from. And of course, the idea of, my goodness, look at all this crime. What we've got to do is take the guns away from the people. And yet, if you look in America, in the communities where they have the right to keep and bear arms, you have very little crime. And then you go into Washington, D.C., and you go into Chicago and New York, where they have strict gun laws. Why, of course, you have tremendous levels of crime. So basically, it's inversely proportional. They know what they're doing. They're not interested in preventing crime or murders or suddenly a shooting. They want to disarm the people because they want, of course, to establish a dictatorship and what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave, because they understand certainly these ideas. It's just that they never teach them in our schools or universities today. And I think Donald's information is fascinating. And before we go on, Donald, I want you to tell our listeners where they can get your material, how they can get the ideas that you put forward, and then we'll go ahead. And incidentally, if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-2295. Donald, how can people get your material?
Well, if they want to get it today, createspace.com has a site. Actually, I put up a quick Facebook page. So if anybody who has Facebook goes to St. Andrew's American Revolution, and it's spelled ST period, I didn't spell the word out, they can find it there and then just go to About, and I'll have the link to Create Space. Or if they want to go directly to createspace.com, it's createspace.com/440-4663. And I believe by the end of the week, it'll be up on Amazon. And I think within the next 2 weeks, you should be able to get it out of any outlet, like even if you walked into Barnes & Noble and ordered it from one of those people there. So it's I'd like to say I was smart enough to plan it for Constitution Day, but I've just been working on it over the summer, and it just happens to be available for Constitution Day. So
will it be available in book form?
Yes, it'll be on CreateSpace. It's ordered. It's a trade paper. It's $15.99. So I'd encourage as many people as want to go there, and they'll get a lot more detail. Obviously, we're trying to fit centuries of information into a small time period. So I think if they enjoy the show, then they'll enjoy the book even more.
All right, fine. Go right ahead. And what is the title of the book?
It's St. Andrew's American Revolution.
St. Andrew's American Revolution. St. Andrew's American Revolution. Go right ahead.
Okay. And you had brought up John Locke, and so I think that's one of the interesting things also is the people that portray the English version of our history, they don't realize where John Locke is coming from. So when you look at early America and all the colonial colleges, they taught Algernon Sidney and John Locke. But if you read, when I read John Locke in college, it always troubled me on the very first page. It said, well, this is an answer to the infamous Robert Filmer. And I'm like, well, that's great that in 1690 he was infamous, but I don't know who he is today. Well, since I've gone back and done my research, what happened is part of the idea of compact under Presbyterianism, there's a gentleman named George Buchanan. And in 1580, he wrote a book called De Jure Regni Apud Scotos, which roughly translated is The Laws of the Kingdom of the Scots. And he basically said that you have a right to overthrow the tyrant when he violates your natural rights. And so Robert Filmer in 1624 opposes this idea, but his book doesn't get published until after he's dead. So that comes out in 1680. So John Locke and Algernon Sidney are responding to Robert Filmer's criticism of George Buchanan and the Presbyterian idea of compact. So even if you talk about John Locke, he's still defending the original Scottish writer, and his whole story is interesting as to the way that he came about to Whiggism, because a real interesting guy to look at as far as Whiggism goes, which is this Presbyterian compact idea, is the first Earl of Shaftesbury is a guy named Anthony Cooper. And he falls in love with this idea. So he helps overthrow Charles and bring in Oliver Cromwell. Well, the tutor to the Earl of Shaftesbury's children is John Locke. That's how John Locke finds out about this idea. And but you see the Earl of Shaftesbury go back and forth because he helps make Cromwell dictator. And then after he helps make Cromwell dictator, he sees the error of his ways and he comes back and says, oh, we got to get rid of this guy. So even down to the philosophers, the people who push this modern idea that our rights come from England, they don't. If you look at Locke or you look at Cambridge or any of those are a direct result of what comes out of Scotland. Now, the interesting thing about Buchanan saying you have the right to kill the prince when he violates the natural rights that God gave you is that this idea of the prince goes down throughout history, and that's one of the things that I found real interesting when I got to the Declaration of Independence in this country, and I asked my friends as kind of a joke, was Jefferson, did he go out on a drinking binge the night before he wrote the Declaration? Didn't he know the Declaration was written to King George? Well, of course he knew it was written to King George. Then tell me, why does Jefferson say in the Declaration, a prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of free people? Well, because this idea, by the time it's come to the United States and the Presbyterians have had their colleges throughout the country, all these people that are the descendants of the Celtic community know what Jefferson is referencing. Jefferson and the idea of the prince is the same thing that John Witherspoon taught when he was at Princeton, is the same thing that's gone all the way back to George Buchanan in 1580. The people in the colonies know this. We're supposed to think that they were a bunch of backwards people that didn't know things, but they were probably the most educated people in the world, top to bottom. That was something that happened in Scotland with the Presbyterian school system, and it's something that happened here. Because if we remember that Scotland was the poorest country in the world, but they wanted to be able to read their own Bibles, they're the ones that set up the school systems. And they duplicated that when they came here, which for some people would be kind of amazing to look at the school systems and the way they've been set up on the Presbyterian model and think what they teach today.
And, of course, people really don't understand the history. Remember, Harvard was created somewhere in the 1640s. Harvard University was established as a Christian school where people were going to learn about God, and, of course, they were going to learn about government as well. But it was a Christian school, and then it was taken over by the wicked people, and so they established Yale, and that was taken over by the wicked people, and they established Princeton, and same thing all every step of the way. But all of these are really started, really, as church universities. Universities, which were actually pushing these ideas of individual liberty. And then, of course, certainly they were taken over by people who wanted to centralize power in the hands of a ruling elite. And step by step, this is where we've come until we are where we are today. Well, do you feel that John Locke was a good philosopher or a bad philosopher, and that his ideas were worthy or not worthy?
I think they were worthy, but one of the things that stunned me is reading Algernon Sidney's Discourses on Government. And if you're an American who really wants to understand what the founders believed, John Locke is great in the fact that he's concise, easy to read. The teacher can assign him. You can easily get through it in the semester. But when I was in class, somebody said, well, what morality is John Locke talking about? And sometimes I'm not always politically correct. So I looked at the person, are you kidding me? It's 1690 and it's England. Are you being facetious? You know he's talking about Christian morality. But where Locke is very concise, Algernon Sidney is not. Algernon Sidney is over 600 pages, and he lays out every example that he can from throughout history that's known at the time to illustrate very clearly why they believe these things. And not that I'm out here to push a bunch of product for other people, but Algernon Sidney's hard to get a hold of, and there's a great place that's republishing the classics of liberty. It's called Liberty Fund, and they're out of Indiana. Just do an internet search on them. They've republished Algernon Sidney, so we can still access that. Algernon Sidney was taught by all the Scotch-Irish in the school. So when you look at Hampden Sidney College, it's Algernon Sidney that they're talking about. And that's what the founding generation probably read Sidney more than Locke, although knowing them and as educated as they were, they probably read both. But Sidney is what they used in the classroom, unlike today when we use Locke in the classroom. So he's a great guy, but he doesn't lay it out as clearly and concisely as Algernon Sidney does. And there's actually a third guy whose book I can't get a hold of. His last name is Campbell. So there were three people that were actually answering Robert Filmer in the late 1600s.
And of course, most people really don't understand America because they don't understand our history. They don't understand the philosophy. They do not understand this constant battle between those who want the all-powerful state that will provide for us from the cradle to the grave. What's wrong with helping people who have illness, dear Sidney? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with helping them, and that is it's not the function of the federal government, because a government that can provide care for the elderly can also deprive the elderly of care. And basically, for those who certainly want a government that can provide pensions for the people, I have to understand they must eventually be able, when they run out of money, to be able, of course, to strip the elderly and everybody else of their funds. America was different and America was great because, of course, our people were good and the power of the government was to be limited. And matters dealing with life, liberty, and property and helping those in need was to be taken care of at the state and predominantly at the local level. What I went into medical practice in 1960. Well, I went into medicine. I got my medical degree in 1952. Every state in the United States had a county hospital, and nobody went without medical care. If you could pay, fine. If you couldn't pay, why, they had a home that put a lien on your home. And basically, if you didn't have a home, you got your medical care anyway, and the good doctors from the community came out because that was part of the tradition of medicine, to take care of people. You did not go into medicine to make money. You went into medicine because you wanted to care for people. And then, of course, only later on did I find out that when you got to be a doctor, you could make a good deal of money. But that was never the motivation for the people who were in medical school with me. I would simply comment, I learned about Jewish people when I was in medical school because a third of my class were Jewish. And basically, they were sitting there in medical school because they were smart. And I will tell you that I learned the greatest respect for them because they were certainly they made up at least a fully, they made up fully a third of our medical school class. And they were there. Some of them, a few of them are still living and still practicing medicine. Wonderful, wonderful people. With a goal to take care of their fellow man. So basically, there's so much we don't get, but the important things you need to learn from Donald Sidney is this whole concept of government that comes from the bottom up rather than from the top down. And when I see all those people over in England cheering the king and queen and almost worshiping them, it's just like we see in America today. All the people who think Obama is great. Why? Because the media tells him he's great. And yet here's a man who is using somebody else's draft card, somebody else's Social Security number, who does not have a full-length birth certificate, who put forward a totally fraudulent one. And yet he's the president of the United States. And he's had the ability to take us from conflict to conflict, and believe me, he has still not given up the idea of involving us in conflict in the Middle East, which will kill millions of Americans, but he doesn't care how many Americans die because he marches to a different drummer, because I believe he worships a different God. Our guest is Donald Wilson. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-2295. One more time, your website, please, Donald.
Oh, we either go to Facebook for St. Andrew's American Revolution, or if you go to CreateSpace, it's createspace.com, and then it's /4404663.
All right, fine. If anybody out there in the audience has a question for our guest, why, this is the time. He won't be with us that much longer, but it's fascinating information. And these are the things we need to go over again and again. We need to understand the foundation of our faith. We need to understand the foundation of this once great Christian nation, no longer a Christian nation, post-Christian nation today, because the wicked people have organized to take control of our educational system, and they even have their agents planted within our churches. Donald, what can people do with the information you have, and what should people be doing today?
Well, one of my favorite quotes of all time is Edmund Burke, who, by the way, is not English. He's Irish. But that the only thing necessary for good men or for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And I think a lot of what's happened is people start feeling defeated. They feel like, what is it that I can do? There's a bumper sticker that the left uses that actually doesn't, you don't have to be a leftist to believe it. And that, speak your voice, even if your voice shakes.
Okay, let's go to Ron, who's calling from Washington, because we're getting late. Hi, Ron. How are we doing? Question or comment for our guest?
Yes, I find this information fascinating. I just wanted to ask your guest about the American Civil War. It seemed to me like the South had adopted the philosophy of the Scottish, and the North, the philosophy of the English, as far as a strong central government.
What was your thoughts on that, Donald?
Well, I'm not as strong on the Civil War as I should be, but basically, you're onto the right thing there. One of the things that I think is a telling statistic that we don't know is that in 1790, during the first census, when they took that census, Celts outnumbered Anglos by a ratio of 2-1. We really have no idea how many Celts came here and what influenced us. And the reason why there were so many Celts in the South is up to about 1725, they went through Boston, but they had a state church in Massachusetts that the Presbyterians didn't want to belong to. So starting about 1725, 1730, they all started in Philadelphia. They started heading out towards Pittsburgh. They started having problems with the Quakers because the Quakers hated them, and so they sold their land to the incoming Palatinate Germans, and they went down the wagon trail, and they overwhelmed everything from Virginia, North Carolina, inland South Carolina. They got to be so numerous that in 1782, Georgia outlawed Scottish settlers.
That's, and I think it's important for people to understand the Civil War was never fought about slavery at all. That is what they tell you, but so much of what they tell you isn't true.
Do you have a chronic illness that is disrupting your life? Have you lost hope that you'll get better? If you have, Rob Manning may be able to help you. Rob is an experienced nurse specializing in integrative health care. If you'd like to talk to Rob without charge, or if you need nursing care or recovery coaching, call him. That's Rob Manning at 613-822-7625. 613-822-7625. You can access Rob's website at illnessstrategies.ca. That's illnessstrategies.ca. And that's spelled with three S's. Or email Rob at illnessstrategy@live.com. That's illnessstrategies@live.com. And once again, Rob's telephone number is area code 613-822-7625. Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for prostate support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope you enjoyed the program we just had. Basically, we haven't talked about the origins of America for many, many years, and suddenly sometimes we begin to forget about this. There's just so many things going on all the time. I think we need to go back from time to time and review our history and review the concepts that John Locke put forward and review the concepts that Montesquieu put forward. He wrote extensively about the difference between a republic and a democracy. And there were two or three other people who were really fundamental in putting forward the ideas that were picked up certainly during the following decades by Madison and certainly by Adams and certainly by Thomas Jefferson that laid the foundation for America. I honestly believe that God had a hand in that. Basically, if you stop and think, the Declaration of Independence, written on July 4th, 1776, had exactly 50 days to the day. I mean, July 4th, 1826, Thomas Jefferson died. What are the chances, exactly 50 days to the day, that would happen? I mean, well, what are we talking about, 1 in a million? Basically, but God determines when we're born and when we die. And then, of course, on the same day, why another great patriot, his name was John Adams, who had actually been a protagonist of Jefferson's. And yet, of course, in the final days, final years of their lives, they came to be good friends. And John Adams died exactly the same day. What is the chance, suddenly 1 in 100 million, something like that, that they would both die that same day, exactly 50 years after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, which was the greatest freedom document of all time? But you see, we never talk about these things and the part that God has played in and where we are today. But of course, we once were a great Christian nation. We're no longer a Christian nation. We're a post-Christian nation. And I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and his justice will not sleep forever. I think we're moving into some terrible times, and we'll talk more about that later. We do hope, of course, you'll want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We hope you certainly want to get the material that we have. Go to our website. We have all sorts of books and tape sets on the origins of our country. You need to get our 4-CD set on our secret government. You need to get our CD set on our secret societies. You need to get certainly our material, our 4-CD set on the threat of an EMP attack, and the DVD on that. Certainly you need to understand the foundations of the freedom that has been lost. And so if you'd like, of course, to help Radio Liberty so we can maintain our network of stations out across America, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com, and you can certainly get our programs there. You can read our newsletters. You can certainly watch our DVDs. We have some wonderful DVDs up there. If you haven't seen my interview with Ambassador Earl T. Smith, the American ambassador to Cuba at the time, we installed Fidel Castro. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we installed Fidel Castro. We knew he was a communist, but you needed an enemy, and just like we have to have an enemy over there in the Near East today, in the Middle East, and so we creating these enemies, and we finance the enemies, like Al-Qaeda. We finance Al-Qaeda, certainly in Syria, and we fight Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, and nobody ever says, gee, that doesn't make any sense. No, we're too busy watching football and other things. Well, ladies and gentlemen, basically, if you're not watching what's happening to government, then the evil people will take charge and will destroy this nation, and that's exactly what they're doing. You need to get my material. Go to our website, radioliberty.com. If you'd like one of our catalogs, we'd be glad to send you one free of charge. If you're in a financial position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. And our telephone number, again, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. We ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival for our leaders, our ministers, but please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. We got a great program the next hour. Don't even think of changing the dial.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America.
Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization or Judeo-Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you of the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish, who, as you know, is a Jewish investigative reporter who is forced to leave Israel because he was getting very close to the devil's heartbeat. He was exposing the corruption at the highest level of the Israeli government, and that's not a very safe thing to do if you're living there. And so he's come to America, and we try to have him on a regular basis. And basically, of course, the question is, what is really going on over the Near East and the Middle East? And certainly, are we going to be seeing peace there? Of course, President Obama gave Syria 1 week to turn over their chemical weapons. Now we understand he's not going to have to turn them over until the middle of next year. Certainly, Mr. Assad is not going to have to turn them over until the middle of next year. And we're already hearing it. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if it weren't true, that Assad is moving his chemical weapons into Iraq and into Lebanon and to other countries, basically. So he'll be able to say, see, I don't have any chemical weapons, or I have very few of them. Here they are. This is exactly what Saddam Hussein did. He actually had his chemical weapons, which he got from us, which he transferred to Assad, and Assad has them there. Assad's father got them. And then, of course, Assad, who I think, you know, everybody tells me how terrible he is, but he was a physician. He went into medicine because he wanted to help people. He came back to his country because, of course, the country would be on the verge of a civil war, certainly if there wasn't a strong leader, and the Assad family had been there for a long time. His brother, who was to assume power, certainly was, killed in an automobile accident. And is Assad perfect? I don't think anybody's perfect, but I do not believe most of what we're told by the controlled media. But what really is intriguing, basically, was an interview we did this afternoon with a gentleman who had actually spent 25 years with intelligence agencies working for the CIA, lived in Russia, and certainly just recently came back from working in Turkey. And basically, it is his contention that Israel is going to certainly lose confidence in America. They realize they can't look to America for protection, and Israel may very well certainly launch an attack on Iran because they're fearful that Iran is going to be able to develop nuclear weapons, and they will not allow that. And so basically, if they have to go it alone, they will. But I want to hear what Barry Shamish thinks about what's going on over there, because he always has access to information that you and I don't, and you listen to Radio Liberty so that you get the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And Barry, you pick up the story.
Yeah, I will. I mean, I don't know who your guest was, but
That's utter nonsense. But I'm
not.
May well be.
I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying it was fascinating. But we want to hear your view of what's going on.
I was saying that, and that's well. I'm going to be doing this, by the way, with a bum tooth. I have to get dental work, and it's really expensive. But if my voice sounds a little weird, it's because I'm avoiding an abscess. Nonetheless, I've got really good information this week, and it's not the kind of speculation we started with. Look, I'm going to read you. I hear the music.
You go right ahead. You go ahead. I'll tell you when to stop. Don't you worry. That's
all right. I'm going to read a little something about Carmi Gilon. He was the head of the Secret Services when Rabin was murdered. He actually arranged the murder of Rabin with Peres, the president of Israel. And he's in action. As soon as I have time, I'm going to read you the article and then give you a little background.
All right, fine. Well, I'm not going to get you started right now because we're going to about a 5-second break. But our guest is Barry Shamish. We're going to be talking. Well, we'll be right back.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4-6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Longevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Longevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
September is National Preparedness Month in the U.S., and it's National Savings Month at Freeze Dry Guy. Are you prepared to save? All Mountain House freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans are now 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These long-lasting foods for emergency preparedness with a guaranteed 25-year shelf life are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These easy foods for camping, backpacking, hunting, and sailing are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These delicious foods, freeze-dried to lock in the taste, aroma, and freshness, are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. All cans of Mountain House freeze-dried meats, entrees, fruits, and veggies are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. Be prepared and save 40% now through September 30th at freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and basically the head of security there was a fellow named DeLong, I guess it was, DeYoung. And basically, how do you pronounce it?
No, you did fine.
Okay, basically, of course, they certainly murdered Rabin, or at least they murdered Rabin, and as a result of that, why of the Sydney. This gentleman now is retired, but he's writing in Sydney talking about the rabbis and how terrible the rabbis are, and you can't trust the rabbis. So basically, why is he coming out against the rabbis at this time, Barry?
And what at this time? He's been doing it. It's not at this time. Role he was given, and he hasn't changed. Let me go a little past. Again, I'm talking a little funny. I have an abscess tooth, and it hurts. Guillon, I'm back to the article. Guillon resigned because the Shamgar Commission found him responsible for security, for not providing security for Rabin. And well, Guillon will speak Monday at a conference at Tel Aviv University. That's today, darn, I missed it. Regarding the consequences of the price tag actions, let me tell you how I met Guillon. It's kind of a good story. Now, look, I had him, I mean, so quickly I figured out how it was done, how they knocked off Rabin, who did it. Eventually I proved it. I wrote a book called Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin. It made number one in Israel. Don't underestimate that. That was the prime of my life, I suppose. Guillon, the Jerusalem Post, had a talk. Carmi Guillon was going to talk. He was just named ambassador to Denmark. Look, the cover-up is long and it's clumsy, but I said to myself, well, he's coming out. Well, let's be there for him. So I knew a woman. Her name was Nadia Matar. She runs something called the Women in Green. And I suggested, why don't we meet Guillon in person. So I used my sources. She used hers. We got 100 people of our people out for this talk. Now, I'm waiting at the entrance. I think he's going to be ambushed. And there he walks in, and Carmi, I stared at Guillon as he walked through the door. By the way, unaccompanied. The head of Israeli security just gets out of his car, walks in without anybody protecting him. As, by the way, he was in no physical danger, but he stared at me. He knew who I was, and I stared back at him, and then we sat down. Now, David Horowitz, he was the editor of the Jerusalem Post, and he knew me. And he would not let me ask a question. Look, Guillon gave us a very stupid speech. And then supposedly the ambush. Nadia Matar is such an amateur. And her followers were such amateurs. They were treating Guillon like a diplomat. They were criticizing his diplomatic positions. They missed the whole point. Now, David Horowitz is ignoring me. He's making sure I don't ask a question. 40 minutes into this talk, I said, enough is enough. I just said, Mr. Guillon, who murdered Yitzhak Rabin? You know, don't you, Carmi? And he is stunned. I mean, stunned. And I said to him, who murdered Rabin, Guillon? Guillon got up and ran out of the talk. As he was running out, I screamed at him, you're going to be investigated, Guillon. That was an actual incident. Well, what can you say that, oh, the Jews are so, so stupid. They bought into the story that he's an ambassador. Look, it was harmless until I opened my mouth, and that was the end of the talk. He ran out of there. All right. That, listen, when it comes to Guillon and the stuff I know, he was in Paris the night of the murder with Paris, France, with Shimon Peres's conspirators. It's a long story, but this guy murdered Rabin. And now he's coming to Tel Aviv University tonight. He was there to be, again, a noted diplomat who hates rabbis. Nothing but nothing has changed. Now, Mattar runs this organization who hasn't had any member under the age of 60 for years. She does not inspire young people. And she should. But it's so hard to explain when your people are so, so truly stupid. You can't explain it. We had Guillon, and, well, if I wasn't there, he would have had a triumphant speech as a new ambassador. But I was there, and he ran for the hills. Now look at another headline sent to me. Look, the background is a Jewish man went to an Arab village called Abilin for medical treatment. While sitting there waiting for the doctor, an Arab, this is all caught on security camera, an Arab man gets up and punches him in the side of the head. He falls to the floor, writhing. He was taken to the hospital and required treatment. That's the background. So who is his attorney? Itamar Ben-Gvir. Now, you want to talk about the Jews, shall we say, buying, selling, however you take an Itamar Ben-Gvir and turn him into the bad guy of the Gush Katif, the Gaza withdrawal. Nadia Mattar organized 2,300 of her followers to come to Gush Katif before the army came in and fight them. A great, great accomplishment until Itamar Ben-Gvir arrived with his followers. They put up a sign so that the Arab town next door could see it. And not a provocative sign. It just said, Mohammed is a pig. That was it. The Arabs went crazy. As they should. I mean, what the hell? Imagine somebody putting a sign up in your house that says, Jesus is a pig. All right, that's what they did. And, well, the army came in after this provocation, and lo and behold, well, Nadia Mattar and all 2,300 of her followers were removed. Many hundreds were arrested. These were largely young girls. In those days, she had young girls following her. She doesn't anymore. Now, look. This Itamar Ben-Gvir broke up the protest for Gush Katif, and now he's being hired. Look what he says. This is his quote, Itamar Ben-Gvir's quote. President Peres would have issued a harsh denouncement if a Jew had attacked an Arab. And then he goes on that the chief rabbis would have had their say. But when a Jew is attacked, he claims it's as if nothing happened and hypocrisy rules. We demand that the full force of law be brought against the attacker and that the victim file a civil suit. This man is a first-class traitor to the right of Israel, but he's still getting away with it. Look, when people sent me, first of all, the Guillon announcement, as they said, what are you going to do? I said, what am I going to do? You're in Israel. Where's your energy? Get a few people and disrupt his events. What do you want from me anymore? And he said, nah, I'm too tired. Can't do it. And by the way, all of these horrible, horrible Jews, all the ones that were bought and sold, they're still running. They're still running. Look, there was a movie in Hebrew. It was called Hamereklim, The Spies. It was about Gush Katif. I'll get to my book, Bye Bye Gaza, in 1 second. It's the only book, but about the removal of the Jews from the Gaza Strip in 93. Wait a second. Oh, 97. You'll forgive me for this, all right? The fact of the matter is there was a film, a full-length documentary called The Spies, who documented what Ben-Gvir did, who documented what Shlomo Aviner, who is just at the top of his rabbinical field in Israel. They haven't been punished. They have a good life, and they are, the Jews seem to admire them.
And I think it's important you understand that many times they will have somebody making a statement that's so outlandish. Well, that, of course, it tends to discredit everything else they say. Everything they say is accurate. And then they will make a statement that is so ridiculous, everything else is discredited. It's a standard technique. It's like some fellow saying, oh, we have an EMP attack, 90% of the population will die. And it might only be half or even less than that. But by making a ridiculous statement, you won't listen to anything else.
You already know that calcium is important, but did you know that calcium cannot be absorbed without magnesium? That's a fact, and the calcium that isn't absorbed calcifies your soft muscle tissues. Haven't you ever wondered what's really causing all your muscle aches? I'm Pat Sullivan, the founder of Jigsaw Health. I created Jigsaw Magnesium with SRT to solve my own magnesium deficiency problems. You see, magnesium helps people feel younger because magnesium keeps the soft tissues from calcifying. This helps you sleep better at night and feel more energized during the day. Call 888-352-5050 and we'll explain why Jigsaw Magnesium with sustained release technology is so much better than any drugstore magnesium supplement. Mention this radio ad and receive $5 off your order. 888-352-5050, JigsawMagnesium.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company.
After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Basically, of course, Barry is quoting from a book written by Golda Meir 40 years later, where Golda Meir says that there certainly is a suggestion, or that there was a conspiracy back in 1973 to allow certainly Muslims to attack certainly Israel to get back their pride before the an agreement between Henry Kissinger and a Jewish person who, according to Barry, was Moshe Dayan. And basically the whole thing was so that Israel would not respond immediately. They did down the line. They were able to win the 1973 war. But here's Golda Meir admitting there was a conspiracy. Is this in a recent book, Barry?
It just came out this week.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, my goodness. No, I didn't know that. That's
40 years afterwards, it was released.
Okay.
This is brand new.
Okay, wonderful. What's the title of the book?
It's not a title. It was a release. It was just testimony released from the Agronaut Commission.
Okay, fine. Very good. Thank you. Okay, so anybody can get that. And do you have
it's
that?
It's on the internet.
Okay,
on the internet. Or if you, if anyone wants to write me, I'll send it to you. There's no problem.
Okay, now, fine. Go right ahead. I think that's as amazing that Golda Meir admits there was a suggestion there was a conspiracy. Ladies and gentlemen, most of what goes on is a conspiracy, and certainly it involved key people like Henry Kissinger. Go right ahead.
Now, how do I put this? I don't know if this came from the commission or not. There's a comment right afterwards about her revelation. I'm going to read it. If it's not from the commission, then somebody, well, frankly, they bought into a story, but they also revealed something. What Golda Meir said was to cover her ass. That's what it was. Here's the comment. Under constant U.S. and European pressure, Meir was asked to restore Arab pride lost after the humiliating defeat in the Six-Day War. The West feared that a preemptive strike and a second Israeli victory would cause the price of oil to skyrocket or initiate an Arab oil embargo. Of course, it happened regardless. There was an embargo, if you remember that. Now, here's the part, though. Meir/Dayan. Look, Dayan was the defense minister.
He was the defense minister who actually turned the Temple Mount over to the Arabs. Go ahead.
Well, no, he was, yes, but he wasn't defense minister. He was head of the IDF in 67.
Okay, fine.
Again, you'll pardon my speaking. As I said before, I have a tooth abscess. And it's making my voice a little weird, but the information is as good as ever, better than ever. It's always good. Meir/Dayan believed that a, quote, limited military loss would restore UN sympathy for Israel by showing the world that Arab armies went in for the kill in a surprise attack on Israel's holiest day of the year, would finally show the world who are the true aggressors, even if it meant absorbing the first blows of the unified Egyptian-Syrian strike. Meir, and I repeat, Meir, all right, she said it was all Dayan in her testimony. Well, she was prime minister, and I would guess she knew too, okay? And this comment says she did. Meir fears that a preemptive strike would force the UN to declare a total economic and military blockade against Israel. She was probably right. In her mind, all options were bad. Now, David Elazar, He was the head of the IDF during the 67 war. He demanded a general call-up of the reserves a day before the war broke up and a preemptive IAF Israel Air Force strike at 11 in the morning of October 6th. But Moshe Dayan denied his request. Now, according again to the Agronaut Commission report, Elazar bears personal responsibility for the assessment of the situation and the preparedness of the IDF. We'll go into that after this next break.
All right, fine. So we'll be back in just a moment. Of course, our guest is Barry Shamish, and people have to understand that most of the history of what goes on over there, really, we don't get only years later. Barry is on the front lines, and of course, that's the beauty of his books and articles, where you can get the information today, rather than waiting 40 years before it becomes available. I think this is fascinating. That Golda Meir now, her testimony is released, and she's talking about a conspiracy. Conspiracy, certainly, to keep Israel from certainly moving immediately, sacrificing a lot of Israeli lives. But then, after all, we have to think about the feelings of the Arabs, don't we? Don't we? We'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Longevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Longevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry certainly says that the idea of Israel ever attacking Iran just because she's threatening to develop a nuclear weapon, Barry says it's just not going to happen. And basically that anybody who says that happened doesn't understand what's going on. And certainly I respect Barry's opinion. We certainly want to we'll keep a watch on what's going on over there because, of course, this is an area that is in turmoil. Barry, before we go on, I want you to go ahead and tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can get your books, and how they can get to your PayPal button, and then we'll pick up with the rest of tonight's program.
Okay, you're right. You get my books at lulu.com. That's www.lulu.com. You'll see a search box right in my name, Shamish, Chamish. I would strongly recommend you look at Bye Bye Gaza and Huberto Dietz Cockrobin if you want to know how the Jewish people have been betrayed by the Israeli leadership. It's like breathing to me, all right? It's just like breathing. My website is barrychamish.com. There is a PayPal button, and, well, folks, if you're good to me, I'm good to you. All right, I won't forget you. Last week, I did an interview with you that actually led to people recognizing me. I respect that. Did you enjoy the article I wrote? By the way, like a few hours after we spoke, I sat down and wrote this article.
Right, I did enjoy it. Go right ahead.
How did you view it? Well, you know what I didn't do last week in talking about Syria? Now, I printed two reasonable sources. Now, if you buy that Snowden released accurate intelligence reports, which, by the way, who doesn't? All right. Then I printed one about Syria from 2011. You read it, right?
I did, right. Go ahead.
Just before I dive into it, what did you think about it?
I thought I always enjoy what you write, Barry.
All righty. I'm going to quote from it now. This is from the Snowden WikiLeaks. I'm going to quote it again. Whoever this is, I didn't find his name. I just found the leak. But I did find who printed the leak. It's all in my article at Barry you know what? I'm not sure it's on barrychamish.com. Tom Mack is, well, so far not. But I'll send it to you. Go to my website, barrychamish.com. Get a hold of me, and I'll send it to you if you'd like. Here is the quote. I spent most of the afternoon at the Pentagon with USAF Strategic Studies Group, guys who spend their time trying to understand and explain to the USAF chief the big picture in areas they're operating in. It was just myself and four other guys at the lieutenant colonel level, including one French and one British representative who are now liaising with the U.S. Now, get ready for this. Again, 2011. Don't forget that. They wanted to grill me on the strategic picture on Syria. So after that, I got to grill them on the military picture. There is a very low level of understanding of what is actually at stake in Syria. That is, what is the strategic interest. But as for, now again, there are all kinds of, well, you tell me what an SOF team is.
What an F-15 is?
No, an SOF.
Oh, no, I don't know.
Again, we're going to run into this. I assume F is forces. They said, without saying, that SOF teams are already on the ground.
All right, now there's some sort of military team, though.
Oh, yes, you could be sure of that, because they're focused on RECCE, R-E-C-C-E, that's reconnaissance missions, and training opposition forces.
Now, basically, Barry, is this recent, or is this from 2011?
2011.
Okay, fine. So this is something that was written in 2011. About a fellow goes to the Pentagon and he's being told these things. Is that correct?
Oh, this was sent to the Pentagon,
okay,
yes.
Okay, fine. Go ahead.
Oh, this was a darn good... All right. Let me continue and you'll see where I'm going with this. This was a pretty good discovery on my part. Focused on reconnaissance missions and training opposition forces. The Air Force intel guy, and that's the U.S. Air Force, said there isn't much of a free Syrian army to train right now. But, you know, it's coming up. Now, here is the quote from the next paragraph. Here it is. They use the word hypothetically. I stress that. Their role, this SOF group, is to commit guerrilla acts, assassination campaigns, and try to break the back of the Alawite forces from within.
And basically, this is an American program to overthrow a legitimate government. It's an act of war. It is, as far as I'm concerned, it certainly violates every international law, and it's being financed with our tax money. And basically, this Free Syrian Army, we are financing the rebels there. It's Al-Qaeda. We're financing Al-Qaeda in Syria. We're fighting Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. And nobody ever says there's some inconsistency here, because you're not supposed to think. Just have another beer and watch football. Go ahead.
Well, this report is so accurate. He goes on to say that Cyprus will be the main Air Force base for an attack. It's exactly what happened, and the Syrians sent two test missiles to Cyprus to send a message. All that happened. But here, let's go on. And by the way, I haven't heard anyone saying that Snowden sent anything out that was phony. Haven't heard that. All right? So let's go on. Now get ready. All right? They're talking about using American jets to create a no-fly zone. But the Air Force... the SOF reps, they don't believe air intervention would happen unless there was enough media attention on a massacre like the Gaddafi move against Benghazi. They think the U.S. would have a high tolerance for killings as long as it doesn't reach the very public stage. Well, what do you know? Back in 2011, they knew there couldn't be air intervention unless there was a massacre.
And of course, what you're talking about is this phony story about the 1,400 people, 1,424 people, 400 of them little helpless children who were, I guess, gassed by the wicked Assad. But of course, we have no evidence that he used poison gas, but that doesn't matter. The American people believe it because they get told over and over and over again by those who control the media that it took place. And unfortunately, well, as long as we got plenty of beer and pretzels and football, who really worries whether it's true? True or not?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. You had a UN report. First of all, let me finish.
Okay, fine. But the UN has not come out and said that Assad used the chemical.
No, they did. I was getting to that.
Okay, go ahead.
But let me finish the WikiLeaks. I hate to break it up. Here's how it ends. Get ready. With Israel right there and the regime facing an existential crisis, he sees a major complication to any military intervention. Look, the article I sent you said just that. It's existential for Israel. If there is an attack by America, Syria is going to wipe Israel off the map. The only replies I got, by the way, that article, I sent it out. Usually I get people canceling me. Not this time. They just sent me improvements on it that, in fact, I've underestimated the threat. If America bombs Syria, Israel is toast.
I think there's a great deal of truth to that, and I'm just so glad that America did not bomb Syria, especially since I don't believe that Assad intentionally used chemical weapons. Go ahead.
Well, it's not over yet, you know. First of all, your president is absolutely panicking. I saw him on an interview where the interviewer suggests for a second that the rebels actually bombed themselves. And Barack wouldn't hear. No one takes that attitude. No one thinks the rebels did it. Everyone thinks Assad did it. That was, just a little, just a touch strong for me, to tell you the truth. Look, what the UN said was that the chemical was sarin, but it was sent by a rocket, a professionally made rocket. And as far as, now here is where the American regime puts its two cents in. Well, the only person with professionally made rockets is Assad. No,
how about the CIA? They have professionally made rockets.
Yep. You got my point. You beat me to my punchline. Yes. That was the point. You've got a situation where I have posted a very, very revealing, two good ones, but a very revealing WikiLeaks. The attack on Syria has been planned since at least 2011 from the United States. That's what my article said. Now, look, all kinds of people from, I guess, my camp are kind of backing me up. I wish they would say so. Joel Skousen was good. He traced a real gaffe by Kerry that said, we won't attack if Syria releases all its chemical weapons, and then the next day Russia and Syria come up with a deal where Russia takes the Syrian chemical weapons, and who knows what they're going to do with them. It doesn't matter. What Skousen is saying is that Kerry made a gaffe, otherwise if Syria would have been bombed, and as I said, Israel's defenses would have disappeared. All right? Look, the numbers of missiles that I quoted in my article was, people wrote me, I said 170,000, that Syria, Hezbollah, and Hamas, if they all combine, no one, listen, I know a little about missiles, not a lot, but I was forced to carry them for 13 years and go to war with them. I know a little about missiles. You can't stop a massive missile attack. Can't do it. You can knock down one or two with the air, with this Iron Domes. You can't if there's tens of thousands. If America attacks Syria, if Assad has nothing to lose, if it looks like it's serious, America wants to get Assad out of power, what does he care if Israel goes? That is the existential question that this WikiLeaks, he just said, if there's an air attack, to his way of thinking, it won't happen because Israel will face an existential dilemma. Okay, and that's what my article said. And it's the only one saying it, by the way. And I can't figure out why.
Well, I'll tell you what, sometimes when I see what's going on today, I think I live in a world gone mad. It's so much of what's going on doesn't make sense. But most people are just so busy having a good time, they really can't be concerned. They can't ask, why in heaven's name would Sydney Israel raise 1,027 convicted terrorists to get back one soldier? Well, we wanted to get that soldier back because he was an Israeli. He should have been shot. He went to sleep on duty, on guard duty.
It was one in a long row of the Israeli government not serving the Israeli people. The Yom Kippur War was a giveaway to Syria and Egypt, a giveaway.
Right.
And this is what I wrote. I said, Diane cut a deal with Kissinger. I wrote this 25 years ago.
Sure. Well, I think that there are some very, very powerful people working at the head of the Israeli government whose loyalty is not to Israel, but go right ahead.
Well, I could go into that in detail. The fact is that I'm going to be one of these people that are, once I'm dead, somebody's going to recognize that what I wrote was right. Well, I just kind of accepted it. Probably not in my lifetime. I'm going to be maligned to the end. But who knows? Maybe it's the bum tooth making me depressed or something. But what's going on in Syria, I got right. You can't have that American attack because it's an attack on Israel, and they're doing it, and they know what they're doing. Boy, these Israelis who think that they should thank America for trying to bomb Assad's chemical weapons, they don't know the game at all. They're the targets. Well, what can you say? That's what my article said, and I think it was pretty timely.
And I think it is timely. I think that so much of what's going on over there just doesn't make sense.
Oh, it does. It does once you get the hang of it.
Well, Chris, your point is, Chris, that the people in charge of Israel are really not interested in preserving the state of Israel as we know it. And there's traitors there working at the highest levels of the Israeli government who have a different loyalty. And I really believe that is true. Our guest is Barry Shamish. And we're talking about the situation that's going over there. And Barry doesn't think that it's all quieted down. Certainly they're talking now, maybe the middle of next year. Why Assad will turn over his chemical weapons to Russia or someone. I think there are going to be a lot of things happening in the very near future that are going to have an impact, not only in Israel, but perhaps on our own lives. We'll be back in a moment.
Do you have a chronic illness that is disrupting your life? Have you lost hope that you'll get better? If you have, Rob Manning may be able to help you. Rob is an experienced nurse specializing in integrative health care. If you'd like to talk to Rob without charge, or if you need nursing care or recovery coaching, call him. That's Rob Manning at 613-822-7625. 613-822-7625. You can access Rob's website at illnessstrategies.ca. That's illnessstrategies.ca. And that's spelled with three S's. Or email Rob at illnessstrategy@live.com. That's illnessstrategies@live.com. And once again, Rob's telephone number is area code 613-822-7625. Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do hope you enjoyed the program with Barry Shamish. He's always provocative. He always has some very fascinating ideas. And certainly I suggest that you listen to what he has to say. I put on all sorts of people with all different views. And we're just going to have to watch and see how this plays out. But I do hope and pray that Barry is right, that there is not going to be certainly a Syrian attack on Iran, as John Quirk has said, because if there is, certainly there'll be terrible repercussions here in the United States. We live in uncertain times, nothing as it appears to be, and so our plea with you, of course, is understanding that behind everything going on today are powerful spiritual forces. None of this is going on makes sense from a logical point of view. After all, turning over 1,027 convicted terrorists to get back one soldier, fighting al-Qaeda, certainly, in Afghanistan with 90,000 American soldiers, 100,000 contractors, 45,000 NATO troops, and 700,000 Afghans against less than 100 members of al-Qaeda. How could that possibly be? And then, of course, our troops in Afghanistan guarding the poppy fields, because after all, we have to maintain the economy there, don't we? And those poppy fields certainly are used then to provide the heroin that Mr. Gulen uses to finance the worldwide Islamic movement right here in America and all throughout the Near East and the Middle East, and to bribe many of our politicians. And if you haven't heard my interviews with Paul Williams on Mr. Gulen, who really is one of the wealthiest men in the world, you need to get his four interviews. We haven't put them together in a tape set, but we will. Vitally important to get a glimpse of what's really going on today. And then to put it all together, you need my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to get our four CDs and four tape set. Certainly on the threat of an EMP attack. It's actually four CDs. We need to get the DVD on the threat of an EMP attack. You need to get my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan, and on population control, the covert agenda. You need to get my DVD on The Desperate Deception, where you'll actually see my 1980 interview with Norman Dodd, where he tells about how the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace was trying to determine how to change the world in 1908, and how they decided the best way to change the world was through a series of wars. They spent 1909 then, of course, planning on how they would get a great world war going. And 5 years later, they had World War I going, and America was brought into that war for no reason at all other than a war. And how we've gone from war to war to war to since then. And I personally believe we're going to see more wars. I believe we're certainly creating the Muslim Brotherhood. We're financing the Muslim Brotherhood. And if you doubt that we're financing that, you need to get the book, The Devil's Game. The Devil's Game. The book is excellent. The author's conclusion, I think, is wrong. He thinks we're making mistakes. I don't think we're making mistakes at all. I think our leaders know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to understand that we've been taken over by a sinister and subversive force. And that, of course, is my story, The Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read, certainly, Nandir Kala Conspiracy by Gary Arnold, pardon me, by Gary Allen. Gary Allen, you need to get the book. And there's that you need, of course, to get the for documentation, Professor Quigley's wonderful book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. We have so many things that you need to get to really understand what's going on today. We have certainly to understand the prophetic significance of what's taking place. You need to get Pastor Billy Crone's DVD sets. There are actually seven of them now, the final countdown, each one with five or six DVDs in it. You need to get The Watchers by Lynn Mazzulli, You need to get Waco, A New Revelation by Michael McNulty. Well, certainly go to our website, radioliberty.com, and get a list of the various items we have. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. If you're in a position to help us financially, we'd love to hear from you. If not, please pray for Radio Liberty.